Hey friends, welcome to episode 131 of Motherhood in Hollywood. This episode is sponsored by Smile Direct Club. You guys know I have been on a journey to try to make myself feel better and look better as I get older and saggier. And one of the ways I'm doing that is by working on my smile. And I'm so happy to partner with Smile Direct Club. They send you liners that you just pop in your mouth every week. It's super easy process to follow. And they do everything from setting up your treatment. They have a special 3D scan that you can do either in one of their Smile Shop offices if you live in a city where there's a Smile Shop. Or you can do their at-home impression kit where they send you everything you need to make your own mold of your teeth. You mail it back and you get your aligners. Easy peasy, right? If this is something you're interested in and you want to try, go to smiledirectclub.com, enter the code HEATHERSMILES, and you will get 50% off of your at-home impression kit. And if you live in a city where there's a smile shop, you'll get a free 3D scan of your teeth. What? Amazing. Check it out now. SmileDirectClub.com. Heather smiles.
Hello, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, you guys, I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. It's MIH Monday, my favorite day of the week, because that means I get to release another podcast with another incredible person that I have met in this industry. And I'm so thrilled because my guest today is actress Beth Dover. Now, you probably recognize her from Orange is the New Black, that amazing show on Netflix. If you haven't seen Orange is the New Black, I'm going to need you to stop what you're doing and go and binge it as soon as this podcast is over. She also stars in Another Period, which is on Comedy Central. It's a very funny historical satire show that just, you have to see it to really understand and fully get the humor and the jokes they do. So she's on Another Period as well as Orange is the New Black. We have a lot to talk about today with Beth. She's so honest and open about her journey to where she is now, a successful actress, a working actress. And she's also really honest about her experience with motherhood and how she wasn't sure that she and her husband would actually have kids. And then it happened. And now she's very excited about it. And I'm going to let her explain what she's talking about rather than me basically just regurgitating the interview. So what else is happening? I needed to turn my phone off before I actually start recording things. So we are actually packing right now. We're getting ready to leave in just a few days to go to Disney World. We've been invited by Disney to come to the social media conference, social media moms conference. I don't know why they call it a mom conference. There's a lot of dads coming too. But anyway, so we're going to go and we're going to spend about a week at Disney World. And then they're sending us on a Disney cruise. So it's literally going to be Disney overload for like 2 weeks. And I have to say, I'm super excited to go. We're not a huge like Disney family. Like, we don't dress in Disney every day. We don't go to the park every day. I mean, we visit, you know, there's the Disneyland is like an hour, 45 minutes from our house. So we go fairly often, but we're not like huge Disney people. The people who are in this group and going on this trip are hardcore Disney fanatics. Like, they dress every day. They constantly write blog posts about it. Like, I feel like I have to apologize and be like, I shouldn't be here. I'm sorry. Like, I need to step up my game. But I'm mostly looking forward to just taking my daughter to Disney World and letting her see what that's all about. We kind of explained to her that there's a whole world of Disney, not just a land of Disney, a whole world of it. And her mind is a little blown. She's trying to wrap her head around that a little bit. So anyway, I'm really looking forward to that. And then when we come back, it's the Oscars. It's the Academy Awards. We have a lot to talk about. I've got some events I'm going to that I'm really looking forward to. And yeah, it's just going to be a very exciting month. February is a very exciting month. I got Chris a very special Valentine's gift. It was actually 20 years ago on Valentine's Day that we took our first date. So, and this is so cheesy, it also dates me quite a bit, but our first movie that we went to see was Titanic. He took me to see Titanic on Valentine's Day. And so what I did was I had this audio recording done of a line from Titanic, and it shows like the sound waves and everything, and printed on some really beautiful paper, and I'm going to frame it. And I don't know, I just thought it would be something sweet. He loves audio and all that because he used to be a radio DJ. So he loves, like, you know, sound waves. That sounds so cheesy. As much as someone can love sound waves. Anyway, so I've got him something like that, and we'll see what he says. I hope he likes it. I'm sure he will. My goal is to outgift him every year, and usually I do. All right, you guys, that does it for my mommy monologue. I'm going to wrap this up because I want to get to the interview with Beth Dover. I think she is amazing and lovely, and I cannot wait to see all the wonderful things that happen for her. And I think you guys are really going to love hearing from her as well. So here is my interview with Beth Dover. Okay, everybody. So for all of you Orange is the New Black fans out there, and of course, those of you who are fans of another period, you are going to love my guest today. Beth Dover is here. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. And I'm so excited to talk to you because you are truly the definition of a mom in Hollywood.
Yes, yes. And sometimes New York.
Oh, you bi-coastal mom.
Well, last year, Eli was 3 months old when we started shooting Orange, so I had to move to New York because I was still breastfeeding. So I moved to New York without my husband. I brought my cousin, thank God for her, and we set up shop in New York City for 6 months.
I forget that Orange is the New Black films out there. I just assume everything films in L.A., which is stupid, I know, but...
Yeah, it's a New York-based show. We shoot at Kaufman Astoria in Queens and then a little bit in upstate New York. So, yeah. So it was a crazy year last year with a newborn.
Like it. Yeah, crazy year, and you're busy on multiple shows and dealing with a baby at home. How are you doing it? How are you surviving?
Well, I mean, help. Help is important because, you know, my husband is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so he works full time. And then at this point, I'm popping back and forth to New York shooting Orange, although I should probably shouldn't say that, but so I'm, you know, we need help. So we have, thank goodness, we have some part-time nannies that we employ, and Joe's parents moved here after we told them I was pregnant. They put their house in the market and moved to Los Angeles from
South
Florida.
Where did they move? Oh, from South Florida.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel so lucky and. That I've been able to have the amount of help that I have.
Now, where are you from originally?
My stepdad was in the military, so I moved around every 2 years of my life. But I went to high school and college in Florida. I went to University of Florida in Gainesville. And then I moved to New York for 4 years so I could work 3 jobs and do plays in the Lower East Side for no money. Exactly. And I've been out here since, I think 2003. So I've been out here longer than I've been anywhere.
I had, when I was in college, a million years ago, I had like a panic cause I was a theater major and I had a theater scholarship and I was like, everybody was going to New York to do what you were just talking about, work 3 jobs and try to make it in plays. And I just did not have enough confidence in my skills and my ability to be able to make it like on Broadway and in theater. So I panicked and I went into journalism instead.
Right. I think I'm like the opposite. I had so much confidence at the beginning. I was like, I'm clearly going to be a very successful actor. This is definitely going to happen.
I love that.
And now I'm like, I don't even know. Do I know what I'm doing? Is this, you know, I'm like, not that I'm losing confidence. It's just I really had a lot of it back then.
But
and
your
now
career
I'm like, oh, no,
is
no one knows what they're doing.
You have so much momentum going on. Like, I would think now you would be feel the most confident in your career.
Well, I think just like anything, you know, you think you know everything when you're younger. And I think the older you get, you're like, I don't know what I'm talking about. So I think it's more just humility. More like, oh, right. No, we're all just trying to get through the day.
That's true. If my younger self was ridiculously more confident. In certain areas for sure. Yeah. But
I definitely had a singular focus. I was very ambitious. Mm. You know?
So and you always knew you wanted to be an actor?
Always. Yeah. From my earliest memories. I was like memorizing commercials my mom would take me into, because at the time we lived in New Jersey, so she would take me into the city and I would do little modeling jobs at 3 years old. And you know, yeah, I did like Nickelodeon shows in high school because we wound up, my stepdad was in the military and he retired in Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. And at the time there was Nickelodeon Studios. So my mom would let me skip school and go audition for Nickelodeon shows. Cool. So I was in like Welcome Freshman and Kenan and Kel and shows like that. I was able to, you know, buy my own prom dress because I worked a little as an actor and stuff, you know? Yeah. So as long as I can remember, it's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. Frankly, the only thing I know how to do other than bartending.
But have you ever had those moments in your career that you kind of thought, oh, why didn't I just get a real job?
Like
business, like, you know, like all my friends did or whatever. Those moments Absolutely. When you see all your friends working and you're not, and, you know, did you ever have those moments of doubt?
100%. Absolutely. I mean, I was in the service industry for over 10 years, just toiling away. I mean, I was afraid to stop bartending. You know, I stopped maybe 5 or 6 years ago because I was afraid to stop. Because I, you know, I always had this fear, okay, I have, you know, maybe I'll live under a bridge or something if mm-hmm. I don't bartend. But what happened was once I let that go and really focused on, you know, only acting, I wound up working more. I kind of gave myself space to work more because I didn't have this other thing.
Tethering you.
A little bit. But of course, I needed to do it for many years because I, you know, got to make your rent. Right. And it's a good flexible income. But absolutely. I mean, there were many moments where I've been toiling away in this industry for many years. So thankfully I was doing commercials, which was helping financially and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of being on a show or on two shows, which is what I'm on right now, which is very great. This is a fairly new thing. It all kind of happened at once. You know, I got pregnant and I feel like I've worked more since having the baby than before, which is
crazy.
Don't
you love that? I tell people that too. Like, I booked more roles after having my daughter, and I don't know what it was, and I don't know what shifted. But it sort of,
I think maybe it's just your time is more important. Mm-hmm. So you give all your time to your child, and then you mm-hmm. give all your time to, you know, you focus. You just focus more, or at least I felt like I did, because you just don't have the time. And also you don't have the, and also you're not. So for me, I'm like, I'm just less, self-involved than I was because I just don't have the time to,
You don't obsess over it. And like,
you don't obsess
think about
over
it constantly. And you walk into the room, like they say that the casting directors can smell it when you walk into the room with that desperation and that need
Absolutely.
And want, which I have done
Absolutely.
More times than I care to admit.
Sure. Sure. Me too. Of course. And I think you're right. I think that's definitely a shift. I think that can be an attractive quality. You see someone who, you know, needs to go back to their kid or has another thing to do. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we like this person, you know, so maybe that's it, you know.
What for do sure. you think was the defining shift for you in your career? Was it getting Orange Is the New Black, or what was the big launching point?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, I have a lot of friends in the comedy world, and I remember when I did Burning Love, I feel like that was kind of a shift for me. That was, it was this show that my friend Erica wrote, and it was a parody of The Bachelor. Oh. And it's so funny. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's hilarious. It's on Hulu now. And it's Ken Marino plays The Bachelor, and then there's all these really funny, awesome women on it. And I don't know, that kind of got me sort of noticed in the comedy scene a little bit. And plus I was on Children's Hospital at the time. And, mm-hmm. And so I feel like that was like the beginning of the shift, but certainly being on Orange has made things way different because so many people watch that show. So,
huge show.
Yeah. So that's been great. I'm super grateful to be on that show. It's such a fun show to be on, and also just to be surrounded by really cool, amazing women, activist women of all different ethnicities and sexual orientations and ages and life experiences. It's been really, really amazing.
Now, you mentioned comedy was something that you were into. Tell me a little bit about your experience in comedy. Did you do improv and sketch?
I did. I went through Second City, and so I did improv, and we started, you know, doing sketch around town a little bit. And then, I just started kind of hanging out in that group of people, you know, and my husband's also a comedy guy. So He was in a sketch group called The State back in the 90s on MTV. So, you know, they're friends as well. You know, I started getting to know them. And so I think it's just, you know, originally I thought I would be some type of dramatic actor, but but that's not where it took me. And I love comedy, so I'm happy where I am, for sure.
I feel like, though, comedic actors are always, like, always have a little bit of a more wonderfully unique perspective on drama, you know?
And yeah.
I love it when you see a comedic actor that tries something new. Like Adam Sandler did it beautifully in, oh my God, I'm forgetting the name of that
Punch movie. Drunk Love.
Yeah, yeah. That was his first, yeah, like, really big dramatic turn. Mm-hmm. Will Ferrell also did a movie where I was like, that was really good.
Yeah.
Of course, all of the movies are falling out of my head right now, and I can't remember any of them. But
I think, yeah, I think comedians are certainly, I'm not necessarily speaking for myself, but I mean, in a way I am. I you know, you see the world in a certain way, and mm-hmm. I think maybe you can find the comedy in tragedy or whatever. Absolutely.
Have you ever done stand-up? Too,
because it's more, I did it 3 times. Oh. And it was terrifying.
Oh, it is so fine. Terrifying.
I love stand-up so much. I'm a fan of it. I love to watch it.
Me too.
It just scared me. I would just be thinking about it all day. And then, you know, I think I did okay. You know, I did 3 shows, 2 of which were like bringer shows in some, you know, yuck yuck ha ha room in Burbank or oh, whatever,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, the ha ha room.
Yeah, or some, yeah. And so I was just terrified. It was scary to do. So I think it's not my calling, but I wanted to do it because it scared me so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to the check challenge. That off my list. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I did the same thing. I went to an open mic at Flappers mm-hmm. with a friend of mine, and I did really well, and I was like, yeah, I can do this, I've got this. And then the second time I did it was so bad, you could hear
right.
the lone person in the background, like, you know, like coughing.
Oh God, just
and
like
it was
coughing.
Just painful. And I was like, oh my God, I hate my life, I'm so terrible.
I know. Yeah, well, I did one of those, you know, you take a stand-up comedy class, yeah, and at the yeah. end you do this big show with the improv that is just fully packed with all of your friends, and everyone is so happy to see you and laughing at all your jokes.
And you think, and so, wow, I'm
and you're
really
performing
good.
In front of hundreds of people, and you're like, I'm amazing at this. I'm going to go to the yuck yuck room in Burbank or whatever it is. And then you're like, oh no, this is a commitment that I do not want to keep.
It really is. Stand-ups who do it every day, do shows every week and stuff. It's truly a talent and an art. Like I want to try it again. I want to give it myself one more shot and like keep trying it, because I think it would be something I would be very proud of myself for accomplishing. But it's still very yeah. intimidating.
You should do it. I'll go cheer you on.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go to Flappers.
We'll go to Flappers.
So tell me, you have created like what? You've got a big fan base from Orange Is the New Black. Everybody's wanting to know what Linda has up her sleeve. What is? If first of all, if Linda's coming back, which I know you kind of mentioned,
I feel like I sort of accidentally
spilled the beans on that one.
So I'll just why say yes, think, I'm coming back.
Why do you think people are so obsessed with Linda?
Are people obsessed with Linda? I
yeah.
don't know. Well, I think she is an interesting character mm-hmm. because she's sort of a villain, but then she also has this other side to her. You know, I think mm-hmm. she's sort of, I kind of look at her as a survivor. Like, she does what she has to do to mm-hmm. survive, you know.
Yeah.
I think if last season, you know, if you've watched last season, she gets tied up in the prison there and you know, she does what she has to do, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I love playing her because she's,
so
once again,
fun.
A villain, but it's fun to play villains
yes.
because they always have issues. They're doing it for a reason. So I have some type of empathy for her character, you know.
What is it like to work on this set? Because it is the writing is so incredible. The acting is so incredible. It's a show that literally came out of nowhere. And everybody was like, oh, my God, we're all in on Orange Is the New
yeah.
Black.
Yeah, I was binge watching it with the rest of with everyone, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, show up till season 3, so I was just mm-hmm. super excited to be a part of the show. I thought I would only be in 1 episode of season 3, and I thought that was it. And yeah. I like flew myself out to New York to do it as a local hire. I was like, yeah,
so smart.
I want to do 4 lines on Orange Is the New Black. I'm a huge fan.
That's so smart.
You know, who knew that my character would actually turn into like a much bigger role. I had no idea. But it's every year, every season has been different for me. You know, season 4, I was working mainly with with Nick Sandow, who is amazing. Mm-hmm. And season five, I got to finally meet all the girls. It was like the first day of school because I had never met them. So
yeah, that's right. Because you were with Nick the whole Caputo.
I was with Caputo most of the time. So, and in boardroom scenes and courtroom, you know, that kind of stuff, and not courtroom, boardroom. And, it was great to kind of meet all the girls in the prison and see the prison. And, it was great. I mean, last season was unbelievably fun and I have friends for life now.
You know, I love to hear you say, you know, to hear your story about how that happened, because there's a lot of actors that listen to my show and, I get a lot of, when I get auditions, sometimes that is like one or two lines or whatever. There is a part of me that wants to just blow it off and be like, really? One or two lines? Like, come on, this is not worth me getting a sitter and driving all the way to Santa Monica.
Right.
You know, in 5 o'clock traffic. But my manager will always tell me, you never know if this will turn into something bigger.
It's true.
And
I mean, honestly,
I always feel like that's kind of a myth. But then to hear you say that is really inspiring.
I mean, I put myself on tape in Los Angeles for a scene that had four lines. I booked it. I flew to New York. I mean, that was what it was. Mm-hmm. I had four lines. I thought that's all it was. And so it turned into much more. Now, that's a testament to Genji. I think Genji is really awesome with just giving people chances and casting people in a very interesting way. So, you know, maybe that won't happen for everyone all the time, but I there have been moments where I'm like, oh, do I have to go to this thing? And then you go and you book it and you're like, oh, that was probably a good thing I did that.
right.
You know, it can be a grind, certainly, especially with kids. You know, you gotta once again get the sitter. Is it worth it? Is it worth the traffic? Is it worth time away? But you know, if it's what you want to do, that's what the job is. Part of acting is auditioning, is getting the job. Actually having the job is easy. It's getting the job that's hard. You know, that's the grind of it all. For sure.
I would love to talk about how you and your husband decided to have kids. Was it something that you were hesitant to do? Were you afraid it would have an impact on your career? Or were you just like, fuck it, we want to have a family, let's do this?
Okay, I'll tell you the truth. we went on a European vacation. And I got pregnant. We hadn't really discussed, I didn't think that I wanted kids. I also didn't think I wanted to get married. So we were together for 10 years before we ever did either.
Oh, wow.
So we got married 10 years in. And then, you know, I was sort of on the fence about kids. I stopped being on the pill. And I sort of was like, okay, if it happens, it happens, but it probably won't. And that's good. That's what I want. And then I got pregnant. So, and you know, at the time I was in my mid-30s and I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, now's the time to do it. So I just sort of rode the horse in the direction it was going. And I'm so glad I did because I'm so in love with my son, Eli. He's amazing. But yeah, I think if I actually had to make the decision myself, I don't think I would have made any decision.
Really? You were so just sort of like,
the decision was sort of made for me.
Your body was like, we're doing this.
Yeah. I don't think I ever had, you know, I love kids. I just didn't think, I thought I'd be a really good aunt or something, you know, for my friends' kids. But,
how has your perspective changed on parenting and like your acting roles and things like that? Do you feel like you take on roles a little differently or your scripts a little differently?
I think just having a kid gives you, I mean, being a good actor, I think you're the best actor when you're like 65 or something, you know, like when you've had life experience.
You've lived a life.
You've lived a life. So I've just added another life experience to my arsenal of things that I can, you know, relate to or whatever. So I think it just makes you a more well-rounded actor. And, you know, certainly, you know, I get more emotional than I used to.
Me too. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
About the world, about not just my own son, but about like society as a whole and children in the world. And
despair a little bit, like, oh my God, what have I brought my child into? Are they going to be okay?
Right. There's that. And there's also, I feel like a call for me to like be more of an activist or more of a person who is involved politically or involved in my community, just to give my kid a better life, or not just my own kid, just all kids or something. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of exploded this other part of my heart that I didn't even know I had, which I think is really a gift. I mean, it was pretty incredible.
Now,
I didn't know that would happen.
You are very involved in activism and, you know, movements to help further women. And I would love to know, did that start when you had a kid, do you think? Or is that something you have been
I wasn't a very political person before having Eli. I think Trump got elected. There was a few things. Trump got elected. I had a kid. Well, I had a kid, then Trump got elected. So thankfully he's under the Obama administration. And I was also on Orange, which is like filled with women charged. Who are activists.
Yeah.
So, you know, Trump got elected. We all got together and we marched 50 blocks. I put my kid in the ergo and I marched. He wore a bear, like a little bear costume out, you know, like to warm him up because it was cold. And we marched for 50 blocks down New York City streets. And, you know, I flew to Washington for the Women's March for 24 hours. And I've just, you know, I last month there's a part of my mom's group has this other faction, called Drain the NRA, which we protested outside of businesses like TrueCar who give money to the NRA. And, you know, I'm just trying to do, I'm not a perfect person in terms of knowing everything, but I just have definitely felt much more of a call to action than I ever have. And, I think partially is absolutely relating to having a kid for sure. And also just the state of this country and Trump and all of it. It was overwhelming, and I couldn't say anything.
It really is, and it's hard to be silent with everything that's going on right now. It's hard to sit back and just watch, especially if you're a mom.
Yeah.
Because you really do feel a need to like make a difference and make a change in some way.
Absolutely.
Did you by any chance, I always ask moms this, but did you by any chance when you had Eli, did you get the letter from the White House before Trump took over congratulating you on your baby?
I got one congratulating me on my marriage.
Oh, yeah. They do the marriage too. They do them for babies too. And
I didn't get that one, but yeah. That would have been cool.
I know. I was so excited. My family back home in Oklahoma is very conservative, and they were like, what? You have a, because it's from Michelle and Barack Obama congratulating you on your baby.
Oh, that is so cool.
And it says, you know, dear Channing is my daughter's name. Welcome to the world, you know, all that stuff. And I literally, I'm like, I cry when I think about it. I'm like, oh, I love this so much that we didn't have a baby under the Trump administration.
I know. Isn't that so much better? That's so cool.
Yeah.
Did you frame it?
It's in her baby book.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes. It's a really neat thing that the White House does, but now I think everybody's just sort of waiting until the next election to maybe get their baby.
I wonder if people are waiting to have kids because they don't want to. No, I'm kidding.
Funny.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to know now, are you currently filming right now? Or are you on a break or are you?
I'm currently filming. Yeah. So I'll be going back to New York next week for a few days.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, is it another period that comes back or do you?
Another period aired last week was its premiere. Tonight at 10:30 is the second episode. My baby plays my baby on the show.
Oh, that's fun.
Eli plays my kid on the show, which is crazy. So, it was great. I mean, I'm certainly not going to push him into acting, but it just kind of worked out that, you know, they were like, well,
an assumption that everybody who's in acting then wants their kids to also be in acting. And I'm like, cause people ask me that and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so. If she wants to, I would support her, but it's really
hard.
That's
how I feel. Oh yeah, I would never push my kid into it. It just sort of worked out because, you know, they were like, well, you know, because they wrote my pregnancy into last season.
Yeah.
And so this season I have a kid. So they're like, do you want to use yours? I was like, yeah, why not?
So. Do you have any advice for or any tips that you would like to share with aspiring actors, those who are either just starting or who have kind of been, you know, toiling in the co-star zone for a long time? Like, what would you say to somebody like that?
What helped me, what I always did was I always stayed in class. I always surrounded myself with people that inspired me creatively. Also create your own material. You know, I had a vlog for a long time with my friend Valerie and we would write stuff and, you know, little websites would pay us to vlog for stuff and, you know, write your own stuff, create your own stuff and stay in class, I mean, that's really, there's no one way to do this. Mm-hmm. So I think if you do one thing every day to get you toward your goal, that's important. And I also think it's important to create a balance in your life. You know, it's not, you know, acting is wonderful, but it's not the only part of your life. I think right. for a long time I was, you know, all I could think about was being an actor. And mm-hmm. I think I'm a much happier person now that I can have different aspects of my life, you know,
yeah.
all under one umbrella. So, yeah, but I would say, you know, just if it's the only thing you want to do, do it, move to LA or move to New York, and you got to just stay in class, find your people, create your own work.
That is such a great reminder. And it's part of the reason why I started Motherhood in Hollywood too, is because when my daughter was like about two, about mm-hmm. your son's age, I was feeling very lonely because none of my close friends had kids. All my mommy and me friends had gone back to work full time. And I was just sort mm-hmm. of alone with a 2-year-old all day, every day, waiting Oof. For auditions and like hoping
to
book something.
That's so intense.
It was very intense. And my daughter was a very challenging 2-year-old. She's great now, but the twos mm-hmm. were tough. And
yeah, I'm in a challenging mode right now.
Yeah,
he has a lot of energy and he's really challenging.
And you said
sure.
he's really strong.
Very strong, very active. And, you know, I'm tired.
Yeah, it's exhausting. It's mentally
exhausting. And you, I mean, I commend you because I actually, you know, I have help. I'm upstairs while my nanny is taking Eli to the park right now. And I get to talk to you in a relaxed state, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, well, I can't imagine.
It's important to have help. And I think that's a great, you know, tip to tell moms too, is it's okay. Even if you have it like a nanny for just a few hours a day or a
exactly,
few hours a week,
yeah.
something to give yourself a break. That yeah. is something I didn't allow myself to do very much. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it took some years off my life. Because I would literally be like in a ball, like curled up. My husband would come home from work and he's like, "How was your day?" And I'm like, "Oh, she's so mean."
It's so hard. It's hard. Motherhood is hard. My mom had 4 kids and her first 3 were from her first marriage. But so they were all under the age of whatever. They were all 2 years apart or something. I was like, how did you do that? I don't even know. She had no help.
Wow.
You know, she was mowing the neighbor's lawns for extra money. You
That's
know,
amazing.
I don't know.
I think it's because moms, you get in there and you just do what you have to
do.
You
just do it. You have to do exactly. You do what you have to do. I commend every mother. Every mother.
All of the moms.
All of the moms. I now realize how hard it is.
It's hard, but it's so
and rewarding and wonderful.
Yes.
It's all of them. It's all of it.
I love
but
that.
But yeah. Yeah.
Well, Beth, I am so excited to get to meet you and connect with you and hear your story a little bit. And I know everybody listening will love it as well. Can I ask you to tell me where people can find you on social media?
Sure. I am. I know it's dorky, but I'm Beth Dover 1 because Beth Dover was taken. So I'm Beth Dover 1 on Instagram and on Twitter. And I'm Beth Dover on Facebook. Yeah, those are, I mainly use Instagram. That's my main one.
Me too. Instagram is my jam.
Yeah.
Although I do tweet really inappropriate things every now and then.
Ooh, like what? Do
well,
tell.
I'm more risque over on the Twitter where I just sort of like word vomit whatever is in my, whatever's in my head. That's like my no filter outlet. But Instagram is where we put the pretty pictures.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to read your Twitter feed then.
Yes. Maybe I don't want to upsell it, but it's pretty amazing. Thank you so much, Beth. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today.
Oh, thank you too, Heather. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. So I'm going to put up all the information about Beth and recap our conversation up on motherhoodinhollywood.com. That's it for me. You guys have a wonderful week. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.